Hey guys, and welcome to the New Paradigm Intimacy Podcast. Today I have the beautiful Yasmin with me. She is a beautiful priestess, and my felt sense of her when I tune in is just like all these delicious Egyptian codes that she holds, and I'm hoping today she's going to share a little bit about with us. So yeah, over to you, honey. Would you like to share a bit about who you are and what you do and your connection to the temples?
Yes, thank you, Victoria. I'd love to. I am Yasmin. I am half Egyptian. I grew up in Egypt for a part of my life, and my earliest memories were seeing papyruses at home, seeing this beautiful ancient Egyptian culture as art. And then also when I moved to Egypt, passing the pyramids so often, especially when I went to university, I'd pass them every day. So I had this strong resonance with this culture, but I was also afraid, like they scared me for some reason. And later on, I realized that they hold such a power, such an ancient power that I felt so disconnected from. And it wasn't until I started my journey to India, to Nepal, to South America, that eventually it was like, why are you traveling to all these cultures when you've got this incredible culture back home? And I never wanted to go back. But then I realized, wow, there's something really untapped in Egypt. And I haven't tapped into it at all. I've actually just run away from this culture and from this land. And that started my journey about 7 years ago, going back and visiting all the temples. But I didn't realize how deep I'd go in. It was like I was just preparing myself for this incredible legacy, but it's more than I imagined. It's shamanic, it's spiritual, it's sexual, it's alive, it's pulsating, and it's still very much alive there. So that's just a little bit about my personal connection with the temples and with the land. And I'm also a facilitator with ISTA, which is the spiritual sexual shamanic experience, and also trained in Haydn Temple Mystery School, and been assisting there many trainings. So it's like everything just came together, and so I could see these temples with a new lens, with new eyes, and slowly revive some of this ancient temple culture in my own life, but also in the offerings that I'm part of. So yeah,
beautiful. Yeah, today I was reading some book, and it was about speaking how like the stories that we tell are like the derivative of stories is like storehouse, like where we store this information. And when you know, when information disappears from our reality, it kind of keeps, it resurfaces because it will never be lost in these stories. And that really like just like landed. I was like, oh, that's what I feel around these temples, you know. It's like this experience of like how we're all kind of living these stories together, and they're finding their way back onto this planet through us living these temples. And you know, and Safira and I today were talking about the walking the prayer, you know, like the walking prayer of being and living the temple in this way. And that's something that I really sense that you're journeying in your own life. And I'm curious how that's sort of how that's emerging for you right now, to be living this walking temple.
I love what you're sharing so much, and especially about the stories. Like I just gave a workshop at a festival, and it was like by remembering and listening to these old stories, it actually revives something in our memory, which is our water. Like I feel our water is the storehouse of our memory, and so it's passed on from lineage to lineage, and somehow we remember that. And also walking the path of Isis, which is sometimes I kind of walk away from her, but she's like, ah, you come back. So it's not such an easy path, walking the path of Isis. In her domain, her domain is memory. So it's somewhat through our lineage, through our blood lineage, we remember things. And sometimes it's easy want to forget things because they're linked in with denser emotions and things that don't feel so easy to remember about ourselves. So for me, these ancient stories have revived really deep, deep memories in myself. And also what I love about these ancient stories, they're not all just about great gods and god, well, forces of nature and amazing qualities, it actually shows our most human qualities that are important to embrace. And that's what I love about these ancient stories, is it shows divinity as humanity. And if we remember that divinity is humanness and humanness is divinity, that we can just become optimal humans, which means to accept all the things that are part of us that make us human, that is to be divine, I feel. So these stories, I feel, remind us of that. Yeah. And the other thing about these ancient stories that come especially from Egypt is about the heart and how important it is to keep lightening the heart. So coming out of this enlightenment process of enlightening the mind, it's to enlighten the heart, which is the path of Ma'at, which was ultimately the whole land was ruled, governed by these laws of nature. And being in nature means to be in resonance and in harmonious tune with the vibration of nature. So these are just a few things that I feel support me to walk this path. More than anything, it's to feel these Netaru forces of nature's with me and every part of my living waking hour and sleeping hour, there is a force of nature that's there that I wouldn't call a god or a goddess, but can be translated that way. They're with me every moment of the day, and they're different ones for different parts of the day, for different activities, for different mental activities or emotional activities or sexual activities, that I can tune in to that, and in that way I open up the temple in my every waking and sleeping hour, because they're also there when we sleep. So yeah, I don't want to go, it's such a deep, deep, beautiful portal to open what I mean by that, and who are they and how did they coexist in every part of the day. But the more I feel they're welcomed and the more they're just recognized, life does become a living, walking, amazing temple.
Mm, I love that. Yeah. And one of the most curious parts of the temple, you know, like for people that I would never even, you know, understand what it's like, you know, it's like, and I, this is kind of part of my passion, is like, how do we talk about these things sometimes? You know, how do we create these bridges for people to awaken to them? And parts of me have been like, and the answer that's kind of come to me inside of that has been like, how much can we even articulate that opening to the temple that originally occurred for us, that starts to have people recognize that this walking temple is within inside of them as well. So I'm curious to hear for you, like, how was it in that awakening process of recognizing these beings and these goddesses and deities were walking with you? And yeah, how did that emerge for you?
Well, I feel for me personally, it started when I was fascinated by death and wanted to die. Mm-hmm. Like that place between this world and the other world, which for me was like more of the world that felt real, the kind of eternal, immortal world beyond this. And it was only until I started to realize how I can bridge these worlds that they came closer. And one powerful bridge is breath. Like there's a you know, it's breathing, because it yeah, it's like I'm breathing between these veils. So this breath is eternal, and so that was one powerful way. Also, the other way is grief. Like there's a, you know, the grieving process of breaking the heart in a way, and in full grief. And it's like, I long, the path of longing for union with what is true, with what is real, is another way. That's also the Isis path, is that feeling, that deep, 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 deep longing for coming home. So that, which is vast and true and real. And so that's another way that was very alive for me, which was my path of depression, actually, wanting to end my life. And then, of course, beautiful path of sexuality and sacred sexuality and finding that my desire for death was just as strong as my desire for orgasm and dying through my sex. So when that revived, then it was another beautiful temple that opened, the Hathorian temple, and the temple of pleasure, of dreams, of delights, of tastes, flavors, creativity, and art. So that's another way that I connected also to creation as art, and art as creation, and finding my own inner creator or co-creator. So yeah, there's different ways, definitely different chapters that have opened me up, but I'd say the first ultimate one was when I was about 18, was the path of just trying to end my life, which was a full awakening. Finally, I just want to say dance and trance. Like, I think the first rave I ever went to, where I had to like get out of the house and feel like pretend I was going somewhere else, but I actually went to a rave, and that first night I danced till the sunrise. That definitely shifted something for me forever too. So the power of trance, yeah.
There's a sense in all of these little pieces that you're speaking to. And actually, as you were speaking, I was like, are you a Scorpio? I was like, this feels like there's a lot of Scorpio in your chart with these pieces coming through. Yeah, there's a sense of, like you said, the veil. And it's almost like something that I feel that the temple is like that. When instead of that veil being like, so like trying to discover it or trying to find it or going outside of ourselves, it's almost like the veil just comes closer, and then there's a sense of like the veil's like becomes the temple. And I feel like this is like when we speak about this kind of elusive understanding of what's happening in a temple and almost why it shouldn't be spoken of, and what is this, like the sacredness of it is like the understanding of what's going on in the in-between worlds, in the alchemy of that is actually just pure magic. Like you say, like the descent from feeling like we're depressed or grieving, and then actually just going into that sort of like stopping on resisting it and actually just descending into it, or moving into that trance state, they all kind of have the same nature to me of like just becoming what is, you know. And then it's just like when that happens, that's when a magic and alchemy and all those other pieces kind of occur. Is that how you've experienced it?
Yeah, beautifully put. Yeah, dissolving the veils inside without identifying every little veil and saying, oh, what's this and who's that and who am I now, but just to allow it to dissolve for revelation. Yeah.
Yeah,
beautifully put. Mm-hmm. Though I just want to add that for some, you know, the temple can be found through mathematics or through science or through probing, through we have different natures. My nature, and it sounds like also yours, is more this beautiful, like kind of soft unveiling for revelation, more the mystical path. And for some, it can be piercing through an atom and finding the mystery through that. And, you know, some of the temples in Egypt were also powerfully, you know, put there for scientists and mathematicians, and you know, the kind of more, yeah, there's a different nature to many of our beings. And so I cannot say that is the nature of temple for everyone. It feels like we're in resonance with that, but for others it may be like, I don't know what that means, and it doesn't, I can't get there. It's like, yeah, beautiful, you may have another path to opening that. And for some it's to really just be so much in this life, like so much in the making of children and the taking care of a home and really in the action and work, that for them is just what arises temple. It's like, and you know, so I feel like we'll have different ways. So whoever's listening to this, your way may be a very different path. For some, it is to be warriors. It is to go out and feel that in the good fight. So to feel that thrill and exhilaration of life and death in that moment is a very different way. So just acknowledging all our different natures and, yeah, the way home to that living truth at the core is different for everyone.
Love that. Snotty plug. I'm like, you're gonna ruin the audio. The Institute of New Paradigm Intimacy is a globally recognized year-long program that qualifies you to become a practitioner of the self-pleasure modality, assisting clients in how to open to their pleasure and create transformation in their lives. There's never been a better time for you to follow your calling and make a difference in the world by just being you. If you're curious about joining one of the fastest growing industries, reach out via social media or our website, newparadigmintimacy.com, or send over the syllabus. I love what you're sharing in that. And I'm getting this, it's so curious speaking to so many different people about the temple, because there's so many different ways that people experience it. And I love what you're the first person I've really felt that's brought in that concept of like, okay, we can find the temple in anything, you know, and that culture can be anywhere. And it's really curious as well, because, you know, I started to do a lot of trying to dropping into like the past, you know, the courtesans and the temple priestesses and all these kind of energies and people. And the more I could discover about them, the more I felt that it was really in the realms of sacred sexuality, and especially in Egypt. So I'm curious, like, what you've learned or experienced through the temples in Egypt, especially, and what they've revealed to you.
Yeah, so there are temples where there were sexual priests, priestesses that were there to support the general vitality, health, and well-being of those pilgrims that would come. So our sexuality is our vitality, is our joy. Ultimately, it's our sense of aliveness. And if there's a sense of, you know, that being just not vibrating or vibrant, then it can lead to dis-ease or a sense of mental also anguish. So reviving back that current sexual ecstasy is a way of reviving back our optimal health and well-being, which was really important to the Egyptians back then in those temples. Health, vitality, of course, joy is a byproduct of that, really important. And so these and fertility as creativity. So there was a culture that supported the general health of the public, so to say. It was like part of, like, you know, if you want to feel well and happy, you're gonna have to run this current. And so these sexual priests and priestesses supported that, knowing that a healthy public, a healthy community, meant that people were vibrating in that way. So they supported that. And also, you know, for those who couldn't conceive, that there were certain rituals that were done. For those who wanted to conceive, children were born at the temples, actually. There are birthing houses there too, where it was open for birthing, open for conscious conception, open. So this part of life, which was bringing in children from the star world, of course, they were like stars that they connected. These temples were all connected very powerfully to stars, and we're part of this cosmic womb, which is the mother. And so that connection to that star world, to these souls, and them coming through was an important part of temple life. So I find that beautiful. Like, I feel like part of me is not created conceived yet, because there's this image or vision of how I imagine conception to be in this way. And so, which is really connected to the cosmic, and very much connected to the natural world and bridging that. So yeah, these temples supported that through song, through music, through artistry, through lovemaking, and also through wild ecstatic rapture. That intoxication was also important at times, you know, seasons, different times, different astrological events, different times of the day. All of that supported our current of energy. So they were so attuned to that vibration. And courtesans, priestesses, sexual priestesses, yes, as they were in so many other cultures, supported the uplifting of that in men and women. an inspiration to other women, and an inspiration to men too, to remember that divine quality of nature itself, being fully connected through song, through artistry. And I feel they were powerful healers too. Darling, I'm just aware of my battery. I have to go plug in. Can we pause the recording?
Yeah, so my understanding is like there were different temples, I guess, in Egypt for different things. And you're saying this was happening in every culture. And then you're saying there's different deities that are connected to each of these temples. Is that what you were sharing?
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to like how the deities worked with the temples? That's what I'm curious of.
Right. So they were... there's like an intelligence to how they're set up across the Nile, which moves very much from more the earthy, kind of more sexual creation mysteries all the way then up to the pyramid, which is more like the connection to cosmic through the subtle bodies. And like as you were sharing the courtesan culture or the sacred sexuality, that was very much a Hathorian temple where beings would come for that lovemaking, for that healing. Also the Horus temple, Heru. So each temple held a quality that connected to what wasn't a god or a goddess, but a force of nature, which each one had their own standalone temple, so that the pilgrim would come to that. And just like the anatomy of our body has different organs, we can't mix up, we can say this is body, but also here's my heart, this is connects to my heart. Here is my tummy, it has a very different function. So that's what I mean, it was set up as an intelligence, like different organs across this body of Egypt, which was Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt. And so each temple held its own function for the initiates, for the pilgrims that would come from all over to visit. Each one had its own capacity for transformation and healing according to which organ you're working with or where you're at on your journey. Mm-hmm. So there was a wisdom behind it. And so as they were, temples were, I want to say, very practical places too. There's this place for the mystical heart, but there's also a place for deep, like almost like, you know, going to a doctor, healing that certain part. But the way they healed was understanding that you can't just probe into the problem, just like we have now natural medicine. It goes into the psyche, into the heart, into the soul world, into the physical world, and very much into our sexual life force energy, to restore and bring back to full vitality, to full resonance. So that's a little bit very vaguely about how they're set up. Of course, the temple of Osiris of Osar is so different than the temple of Horus, Heru, and you know, but there's different masculine qualities to them. Very different, and just like some are very feminine in nature, others will be more masculine in nature, but ultimately the whole thing is about coming into union to birth your divine child within, so that you're androgynous. That was actually the highest, like one of the high states of your evolution or initiation, was to be born again androgynous. So this whole thing about, so some were very much standing for masculine traits, others for feminine traits, but ultimately it was to integrate those parts so that you're born again. This rebirth process is so important, death for rebirth. And death for rebirth every day. Every day the sun goes down, there's death. Every morning it rises again. So to really have that anchored in was an important part of, just temple life, is let it be, what's past is past, let it die. Like really this intimacy with death for life brought about, I feel, more life. And temples translated means houses of life. People would come to remember that they're alive.
Beautiful. I love that so much. In the Celtic traditions, there was like a bit of an initiation through to kind of get access to different temples. Like there would be, you know, everyday citizens that would never actually even access the temples. And I mean, what you're sharing, it sounds like Egypt was almost like a place where a lot of people or like everyday people were able to access that? Or do you feel like it was more of that initiatory path, like that people had to unlock each layer to be able to get to different temples, I guess?
Definitely, definitely powerful initiations happened for those who were seeking initiation and were on that path of, yeah, definitely. And it was open to the public too. It was important because I have to say that Egypt went through many dynasties, many changes. So we have earlier dynasties and then we have later where the more distortion of power came in, where it was, so we can see it through, if we're looking at it, those different times. But initially it was open, the farmer, so important. Who would eat without a farmer? Welcome to the house of life. Thank you for your gift, And then there were the priests and priestesses. And I also felt priests and priestesses sometimes also had, life, family, children, husband, home. And then, of course, there's more the, as we have even now, the more austere kind of seeker who's like wants to give up the worldly life to completely seek the connection to spirit. There was, of course, the powerful initiations that came definitely was a path also for initiates. But then there were different chambers and different quarters and different places where, which wasn't open to everyone to enter. Temple is for everyone. And then there's the sort of inner sanctum or inner chambers that were there for the initiates, for the priests and priestesses. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. And I'm wondering, like, if there was something in, this reality and this, like, Egyptian culture that you wish, like, the whole world would wake up to or would come into, like, what would that be for you?
So beautiful. What a good question. Ah, I feel it would be to remember that we are so connected to nature. Like, we are nature. It's quite simple, actually. It's so freaking simple. Yeah. Like, the wonder and the magic and the everyday ordinary, the extraordinariness of life itself, the extraordinariness of taking a breath, of digesting food, of laughter, of tears, of our emotions, of our desires, our longings, our fears, our intimate connections with beings, like the simplest things for me, I feel that's what Egypt shows, is like, this is the house of life, this is the temple. And the temples were designed as gardens. Like, if you look at the columns, they're flowers. The whole design of them are created around codes, like Fibonacci codes or different sequences in nature. The mathematics are so organic, aligned with the stars. It's actually just saying, we are nature. God, goddess is nature. You are nature. Whatever filter there is in the way of seeing that, dissolve that. And whatever it takes to dissolve that. Do that. Cry, scream, make love, pray, whatever it is to dissolve that so that you return back to your natural state and come home. That would be the ultimate message, I feel, of temple.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that such a strong resonance with that. And I feel that that is almost like what's happening when we're talking about this, like, landing of the temples. It's like, how much can whatever we're creating be in connection to nature? And to the cycles of nature and to the power of nature and, almost restoring power back to nature versus like the distortion of power or the distortion of sex or the distortion of life that we have in our everyday world now. So yeah, I am in complete resonance with what you're sharing about that. It's something I'm super passionate about, is like, what is the alchemy required and to come into that relationship with that piece, Amazing. Is there anything that you want to share around anything you're creating or birthing or bringing to the world right now?
Thank you. Yeah, so I offer an online 6-week journey. The next one starts January 2022, called Returning Home, where we work specifically with each of these temples and how they correlate to the next. So it goes into the cosmologies and anatomy of spirit. So it's quite a deep journey. So that's coming up in January, which is online, and also a 1-week priestess journey at the end of October 2021, and a trip to Egypt in April 2022, a journey actually on a boat visiting all the temples, 22nd of April to the 2nd of May. And I offer these. So if you're listening to this after all these dates, this is something that reoccurs that I offer quite frequently, especially the trips to Egypt. As long as it can happen, I'm very much committed to bringing or supporting pilgrims to come back to the motherland. So, yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us and sharing your vision of the temples and what is being created. It's beautiful to just track this alignment that I'm feeling and the threads of the temple through so many different people, and just like hearing different words but the same essence behind everyone's words. It's so delicious to feel. So yeah, thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you, darling, for inviting me and for your gift.
Thank you. Yeah. See you soon. Bye.